Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The coronavirus hit the US economy hard. Over 33 million Americans are jobless and a lot of people are dead, especially in New York. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddin Ebumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 30 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange normally. But today, Peter, we see you in your private apartment in New York City. And we have to ask you, first of all, how are you? Because the virus hit you really hard.
It did. I got sick actually on March 17th. And I've been basically sick until actually a few days ago, really. The virus hit me very hard. It's important for everybody to know that this is the real deal, that the virus is a beast, right? It attacked all different parts of my body. I ended up getting multiple viruses. I got meningitis, attacked my nervous system, high temperatures and whatnot. So I had basically an active virus for more than 30 days with a high temperature for about 15 days. And now I'm in day 48. As of yesterday, I decided that I'm no longer sick. Today is day two of my recovery. And while you can hear that I still have some issues with my lung, there's some scarring and some neurologic problems, I'm on the road to recovery, so I will live to see another day.
Glad to hear from you, Peter. One question for myself, if the stock market is closed, how is trading working right now? So are you working from home?
So there have been very few times in history where the stock exchange itself as an institution, trading has been halted, right? 9/11 was one of them. I believe it probably happened in World War I, World War II for a little time. But in 9/11, the markets completely closed 4 or 5 days, right? As you know, globally, markets are not really allowed to be closed more than 3 days, at least in our world, because how it'll affect trading in foreign countries and banking and whatnot. So after 9/11 and obviously and after Hurricane Sandy, when we realized that we were sort of in a new era of potential crisis, whether it's an economic crisis or a global crisis, the New York Stock Exchange has instituted electronic trading. It's part of the new technology of our time, where there are other trading platforms around the country where people can trade. But the stock exchange itself, the NYSE, has set itself up for electronic trading in the event of a crisis. So basically, you know, from our point of view, as one of the largest global markets in the world, the most important thing is that people will always have access to their money. How do we create fear in an economy and in a world that is going through crisis would be if people were not able to, you know, have access to their money, have access to buy and sell stocks. So the stock exchange has made a major effort over the last 10 plus years to create an atmosphere and a technology and a platform where in the event of such a crisis that we have today, that trading can be as smooth as possible without the human element done electronically. So while the floor of the New York Stock Exchange is closed, the market makers and the brokers can be trading depending on their business model, depending on what kind of customers they're doing business with, buy side and sell side, have access to markets, have access to trading, and have access to the liquidity created by the infrastructure of the New York Stock Exchange. So that's how we've been since March 23rd. It's been going okay. Obviously, I believe the world is missing the human element, which adds levels of confidence. But for myself, the models that I trade with my company's customers, I have basically been very sick for the last 40 days. So I haven't been trading. And a lot of what I do, I need access to the floor to engage my business model and trading structure. So I have not been doing business, but people are in the best seamless way possible. Market makers have been trading remotely. Brokers have been trading from their homes. And while it's done okay, there's been some volatility. There's been a lack of information passing back and forth, which is what the floor offers. There's been a lack of obviously the human element and all the benefits that we as human beings and humans do in the marketplace, but it has been trading electronic.
Peter, so, in February, we saw all-time highs also here in Germany, but also for you guys in the US. And then the crash came. How did you experience the first weeks the markets went down over 10,000 points in the US, the Dow Jones?
So I experienced it personally. I was there, as you know. It's a fascinating market. It's been a fascinating year market-wise. February 12th, the market hit 29,500, give or take, record highs, right? We had the fastest ascent that we had seen in a long time. And that was really before the reality of the virus had hit. It was already in China, but we were still, you know, claiming whatever it was, perhaps a hoax, or that it wasn't going to come here or whatever. And there obviously was not enough preparedness going on. But as from February 12th peak to March 23rd trough, in a six-week period, we saw the market sell off almost 11,000 points. That was the fastest peak to trough sell-off in history. And obviously that was a function of the increased deaths, the fact that the virus had sort of drifted, migrated from China to Iran to Spain and Italy, and then started to, like a tsunami, come to the United States, right? And the reality started to hit, and our unpreparedness started to hit, and the market started to react, right? So we sort of were eyeing a global economic slowdown and surely a domestic shutdown of the economy. And the market just sold off. You know, it was fast, it was furious. It made perfect sense. But, you know, when markets, you know, the higher markets are, the faster their fall is when things, you know, go wrong in crisis. You know, people were calling for the market. It was overbought. Why are, you know, the economy is good. Interest to the Federal Reserve was behind us. We had just finished a year of a lot of uncertainty about China. But still, the market seems, as I will discuss a little later, has a mind of its own. The market's doing what it wants to do. So that March 23rd sell-off seemed a little overdone in many ways. I believe it was economic and headline and virus driven. But I think a lot of it, some of the real depths of that sell-off were probably a lot of margin calls. People were trying to get into cash. People were trying to find a safe haven, right? The world felt like it was coming to an end with so many unknowns. So I think a lot of that, you know, while I still think the market is overvalued relative to, and we'll talk about this, the economy that we're going to be looking at in the coming months. And I think what's happening in the market now is unusual. That sell-off was fast and furious. It made sense. But I think a lot of it, when you see people really were over-leveraged, there are lots of reasons for the sell-off. The virus was the preeminent one. The potential global economic slowdown was the next one. And then I really believe, as I analyze, and I'm not an economist, you know me, I'm a trader, but it really was clear that with markets as high as they were, people were feeling that that euphoria, the market cannot go down, everything's great. They were painting a wonderful picture of the future, the next quarter, and everyone was leveraged up the kazoo, right? And so when that happens and things go wrong so fast and so furious, everyone is forced to call in margins, everyone forced to get into cash. A lot of people bailed. A lot of people came out of hedge funds. I think it was one of the largest outflows of funds we've seen in a long time as fear and anxiety. If you watch the VIX, you know, the VIX, the fear index went from 12 to 20 to 38 to almost 80. So I think that's what we saw. And I hope that answers that question. What more important, sorry, one second. More importantly, you asked me my experience in it to watch the circuit breakers, which the New York Stock Exchange, sorry to interrupt you, son, have installed to protect these sell-offs, right? They functioned quite well. They gave the market a moment of pause when we're down 7%, 13%, and 15%. It did not stop the sell-off, right? But it gave the market a pause for everyone to get their ducks in a row and to reevaluate what's going on and to really understand and then to get involved, because obviously it's an auction market. The buyers and sellers have to rush to the table when things are in such crisis. That was unprecedented, to watch the markets open and then close for 15 minutes and then reopen and fall thousands of points. And I got a sense from the floor where you know that human element, you've both been there and you've lived there for a while, where you get that sense of that human, what's going on here? It felt more than financial. I think people started to really realize, what's going to happen? Are my family at risk? How bad is this virus? You know, once I'm surely worrying about my retirement fund, but what about my mother and father? And what about the health of my family? So all of that in one room with markets trading in down 10,000 points, it was an amazing experience. You go.
Yeah, we have. You already said that we had margin calls, and we had days where even gold, Bitcoin, whatever you had, every asset was really going down and really hard, affected really hard the markets. So people had cash was king, and cash definitely still plays a huge role as a king. Maybe in future also digital cash. But the thing what I want to ask you, Peter, is, this kind of margin calls I never have seen. Yeah, is the probability in the future, because of this high spikes in volatility, can we say that we will see often this kind of margin calls?
You know what? It's really hard to predict. Where, you know, look, I love to be the analysis that I do of markets is often helped by historic data. Okay. So we've seen crashes and flash crashes. We've seen wars and crisis. We've seen trade wars. We've seen Federal Reserve markets. We have some sense of an understanding as we look through historic data, whether it's day-to-day trading, trading in crisis, whatever the crisis may be. I think that this was a perfect storm. If you remember that movie, it's when everything aligns in a very bad way. You've got an over-leveraged market, a market trading at its high, people wondering what's going on. Then we have, let's be clear, you know, and I've been talking about this a little bit on social media. Never before in our lives have we ever had a crisis where there was not one soul in the world. I don't know how many people there are in the world, but there are 3+ billion. Was every single human was affected by this, right? Whether it's you lost somebody, whether you got sick, whether you lost your job, whether you're a small business going out of business, whether you're a billionaire, whether you're a hedge fund, whether you're an institutional trader, whether you, whatever you're in the press, everyone. So that is so virtually biblical. And I don't want to get all godly here, but whatever happened, so we don't know, right? I think that was a perfect storm. I think, you know, and from the analysis that I've done, I think we were in a very rare moment of irrational euphoria as the large funds, as we saw in the oil thing, we'll talk in a minute, where people were completely overleveraged. And this is not anything I came up with. This is my research of why was that sell-off so fast? Why was everything going down? Things that normally trade inversely were not. Things were everything. It was all about cash. Get me in cash. I want out. And then you've got, you know, hedge funds that were down 20-30% in a month. Well, people were bailing. Hedge funds that had $500 million, $5 billion ended up getting cut in half. Margin calls were being called. We had option trades that were in a very strange contango. So what will it be in the future? You know what happens when you, what's his name? Mike Tyson says it's all fun and games until you get punched in the face, right? I'm not sure that anybody who got punched in the face by this, and I'm sure everybody in the financial industry, I mean, they may tell you that they sold, that they didn't sell, and now they're back, or people sold at the top, and they went to cash, and they bought on 23rd, whatever it is, I believe everyone got tossed around. So I'm not sure, as we saw in financial crisis 07, 09, for a while after that, I think that kind of put a little bit of a cuff on how people will go into the risk trade, and perhaps they'll be a little more cautious.
Peter, after the markets got punched and after we saw the lows, there was already a rally going up. So why is the market keep going up, and why is the market not trading in concert with the economy?
Okay. It's my favorite question of the day, and I'm glad you asked it. So historically, we've seen when we saw 2007, 2009. So I think the, you know, there, I don't want to get to be a conspiracy theorist, but the bottom line is, if you throw enough money at a market, if you open up the discount window, if you throw enough cash at through the Federal Reserve and stimulus and bailouts into the marketplace, I promise you that a lot of it ends up in the market. Okay? That's my opinion. We saw it in 07 and 09 that the bailouts and the market and the stimulus and the Federal Reserve opening the windows to big institutions and banks and whatnot to be able to collateralize whatever loan default, whatever bankruptcies they had, all that. It feels to me that a lot of this trickled into the market. So if you have as much as we saw in 07, 09, the rally was 60 to 80% off the lows of 07, 09. We are now seeing a full Fibonacci retracement of more than 61% from March 23rd lows. It is often, you know this, Mark, Manuel, that markets will sometimes trade in concert with the economy, and then sometimes the markets just do what they want to do. You know, they trade in the bizarre world. They trade in a complete dislocation to the economy. So the question is now, and I'm kind of a believer in this, is I don't wish badness on the market, but it's sort of, it's fascinating for me since March 23rd to have retraced back up 61% as every single day the economic news is virtually taking us, if not worse, to the levels of depression of 1929. 33 million people in America are out of work. That's 20% of the workforce. Okay, we're in the beginning of this pandemic, really. You know, we're seeing states reopen. How is the economy going to handle the reopening? Are we going to have resurgence in the virus? Are people going to go back on cruise ships and airplanes? Are restaurants only going to be able to serve half the people? Are they going to have to raise their prices? How about airlines? If there's only 100 people on each plane, how are they going to survive? So all of these things, it makes no sense to me that the market is now trading. NASDAQ has retraced all of its losses of 2020. While every day, the worse the news is, the market just seems to go up. And my belief is probably some of it's fear of missing out. Probably a lot of it is the fact that they've just thrown everything but the kitchen sink at the marketplace. I wouldn't put it past, you know, this administration, which has become a little bit fragile, the president I'm speaking of, as far as his run for re-election, has been running on the markets, right? He's been running somewhat on the economy, but somewhat on the markets. And so today, let's think about this today. Today, the numbers came out that were devastating unemployment rate. We are looking into an abyss economically, globally, and in the U.S., yet the market comes up. But very perfectly timed this morning at 8 a.m., our president went on TV and said, you know what? Phase one of the China deal is actually in the works and everything's going to be okay. So, you know what? I don't like to say markets are manipulated, but in a funny way, we are buffering so much of the downs. Now, think about it. If the Fed had not thrown $5 trillion at the market, I don't think we would be where we are today. So I think that influx of cash and stimulus is contributing to a market, as well as I think a lot of people are probably still on the sidelines, so that the liquidity is probably thinner. And I think it's easier to elevate a market when that happens.
Peter, of course, what I recognized also, the stimulus is also not completely in because there are some market participants that are still waiting. So we need to have time to wait that the effect of the Fed and other central banks in the world really takes 100% effect, definitely. And what I actually see also as a technical analyst, we see a lot of divergence and the recovery right now should not definitely be sustainable. We are still on high volatility and we don't know what. Okay, a lot of people say it's everything priced in, so don't miss the news, even if they are horrible, it's all priced in. But how far in the future can we price in? Sometimes there's some big uncertainty in the real economy, that we don't know. Like you said, how will everything start? So pricing in everything is not always the best argument to say.
So I don't think there's a perfect scenario, or we don't have a game plan. You know, when you get to the football stadium for the Super Bowl, the guys have everything already mapped out, every play. I don't think there's a playbook for what's happening. So we are called backseat quarterbacks. You and I are trying to figure out what is everybody thinking. There are so many players in the game. Everybody's thinking something different. So where the market is today, going up every day, hundreds and hundreds of points. Could it be that we are pricing in a perfect case scenario, that we have a vaccine within 6 months, that we have a treatment for the virus, that the virus slows down, that the reopening of the economy goes smoothly, that we start becoming friends with China again, that we stop fighting with Iran, that oil rebounds because we made a deal with Saudi Arabia and Russia, and then suddenly planes are going to start flying, there's going to be a demand for oil, and everything is just going to be fine and rosy, and it's like Christmas in July. That's what they're pricing in now. My fear is, I think if we, it's more interesting to me to analyze the sharp downturns in a bear market rally than these upswings. These upswings are just irrational euphoria to me. But as we saw, there was a day where the market was up 500 points, and this company that's making the drug, which they have a lot of hope for, which is the Remdesivir, I don't even know the name. The Gilead company made a drug, and their first trials came out that they had failed. And the market, on one little bit of news, went from being incredible up 500 to literally dropping like a dime. So I believe and agree with you that the volatility is there. The market, while on a tear on the upside, I believe is incredibly fragile. And I really am fearful that I hope the market goes up. For me, more importantly, I hope the economy and the world comes back together and that people get their jobs back and small business gets the money they want. And right now, you know, it feels that it would be not empathetic, you know, no sympathetic for me to be wishing the market should go up and not really care what's going on. It's hard for me. We're here to try and explain why the market's doing what it's doing. But, you know, if I live here in New York City, I know what it's like to have the virus. I'm walking these streets. And if I walk 30 blocks downtown in Manhattan, there's 4 stores open. There's homeless people on the street. The stores are boarded up. Some of them are small businesses that don't have 500 or more employees. They're not getting money. Will they ever open up again? So my fear is there are going to be a couple scenarios. We've surely priced in a perfect recovery, right? We've priced it, you can't say it's anything more than that. We've priced in money in the market, and we've priced in a perfect recovery in terms of a treatment, vaccine, reopening, and everything going smooth. What we surely have not priced in is the fact that a resurgence in the virus, that the small businesses will never reopen again because, you know, the stimulus package details were companies 500 employees or less will get money. Well, what about the companies that have 50 employees? They're not getting their money, right? There were public companies getting stimulus. So I'm not sure that there was a right game plan on that one too. But the fact is that people, you know, I'm a firm believer, having experienced the trauma of having been sick. So it's a special reality for me. But unless you have been sick or have lost a loved one or have seen what it's like where they're burying, you know, mass graves in New York City, that this is some real business. And that that people may not rush back into life as we know it, you know. I don't know what the world's going to look like on the other side of this. As I started to describe before, this has affected everyone on Earth. We don't even know about the people who have been isolating in their apartments, some sick, some not, who have been going through a lot of personal trauma, people with money, not with money. There are the tip and minimum wage workers. There are small mom and pop shops who may never open. Are you going to go back into a movie theater and sit next to somebody or eat in a restaurant and sit next to someone? Are you going to take public transportation? Will there be a demand for oil and gasoline as people start to get on planes? What's the world going to look like? And I think as that unfolds, I think that's going to finally get the market's attention. And so I think in one simple sentence is, I believe at some point the market will catch up with the economy. I don't know what that will look like, but I think it's going to happen.
Peter, I know you almost for 10 years now, and I've worked on the floor a little bit different than you, but I was for 3 years on the floor as well. And in these years, I saw more people leaving the floor than coming. Do you think that after we've got this crisis and after the trading floor is reopening again, there will be less people on the floor? Will we ever see the same trading again? Or will they say someday, we don't need the people anymore, we can do this like electronically?
Don't say that. Don't ever say that. You know better than that. Okay, well, let's understand the scenario. The reason that the people left the floor was not a function of the fact that we don't need them, that the human element is not important, but as you saw the new technology come in, okay, and firms merging, and less need in any industry. Don't, I beg of you not to isolate us as any other, as anything different than the whole world technology, as technology affects the whole world. Every industry, people get outsourced to a certain extent. There's mergers and acquisitions, and we don't need five tech guys and five IT guys and five this as companies go, as technology becomes better and better. So in every industry, people, and when they start robotizing, making of cars and all this stuff, everybody starts to fall off the grid a little bit as industries need less people. As there's more technology, every industry will need less people. We are no different than that. They brought in technology, and what one broker could use to take 10 brokers to do can probably be done by a couple now. It's, in my opinion, it's all the more reason. And what we've end up seeing is more crisis, more volatility, and in my opinion, I'm a big proponent of the human element, more necessity for human beings in the marketplace. You know, when you get on a plane, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm never going to get into a driverless car, right? I just don't see it happening. And it's the same thing we always describe the stock market and the market makers as a place where you get on a plane, it takes off to go to Europe, right? The pilot puts it on automatic pilot. In the middle of the ocean, he runs into a crisis in stimulus. He runs into a crisis, and he takes it off automatic pilot, and he flies the plane. If I suddenly hit turbulence on the plane, and I go to the cockpit and open the door, and there's nobody there except automatic pilot, I'm going to be concerned. So I think in these times are being borne out by the fact that the human element is all the more important. All that being said, I'm sure there will always be attrition. There'll always be some dwindling out whenever we hit a crisis. Maybe some people will go, you know what? The risk reward, because I think we're going to be in a fear mode about contracting the virus for probably a few years to come. I don't know how long it will be before somebody's going to come. You know, we're very huggy, feely people here on the floor. You know, when will you feel comfortable about shaking hands or be in a crowd trading with someone? I don't know when that will be, right? Trust me, you don't want to get this virus. You'll do everything in your power to not. And everybody has a risk differently. I'm a 60-year-old man. I got it. My son is 26 years old. He was in the same environs as me. He didn't get sick at all. So everybody has a risk reward there, right? So will not everybody come back to the floor? First of all, I think the rollout will be a slow and small one to make sure that we've got a handle on a way to make sure this is smooth and safe. That is their priority. We know the markets can run, though half scale or still needing the human element, they can run until we're able to get this under control and be safe. But I believe that we will always be down on the floor. The human element will all the more be more necessary. Whether some people decide not to come back, it's very possible. I think that will happen in every business, right? If you're in a business where you're going to be in constant contact, whether you're a bus driver or a stewardess or a waitress or whatever it is, I think there are going to be people who are going to be fearful for a while. There are people who are deeply traumatized by this thing. So, you know, we worked as long as we could until it was no longer safe at the stock exchange. I'm hoping we're one of the first people to reopen because it's so important for the global markets in this time, which I think will unfold and be volatile for a while, as Sunny said. We need to come back. Everybody's risk reward is different. I believe hopefully we'll be fully staffed sooner than later, and the stock market will be the great institution it once was.
And Peter, we can't wait to see you back on the floor. I mean, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, we need to you on the floor. So thank you so much for sharing your experience, your knowledge, and your feelings about the markets. Appreciate it a lot. Salah Edine Boumidi, head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, Einstein of Wall Street. Thank you so much for joining
us. I appreciate it. I'm always here for you guys. Great to see you.
Thank you very much. This was the IG Trading Talk. For more information, go on ig.com. Thanks for watching.